This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, Ankit. Now, you may not know this, but in Malaysia, the hashtag Trump won is trending here. But I guess in the US, it seems like pundits are saying that Trump came across somewhat brash and confrontational, while Hillary seemed calm and collected under fire. Now, do you think this is an accurate assessment? How do you think they performed?
Great. Well, thank you for having me on the show. Very excited to discuss the results of the debate with you. I think what you just lined out is absolutely accurate. So the Trump won hashtag has been trending here in New York City, too, I've seen. But my assessment of the debate is that I do believe that Hillary Clinton clearly outdid her opponent.
So what was the best highlight for you, Ankit?
So highlights. Well, that's actually really difficult with this debate, which was historic in some ways. But I have to say I was a little taken aback by Hillary Clinton's willingness to go very big at the end of the debate when she specifically brought up the Miss Universe issue. I think she realized that Donald Trump would be unable to resist the bait, essentially, on many separate issues. And he really jumped on any sort of provocation she brought up against him, whether it was his history of racial discrimination in housing, his treatment of a former Miss Universe contestant. But really, it seems like Donald Trump really jumped on anything that Hillary Clinton provoked him on.
Yeah, so, you know, Trump got no love even from conservatives. Looking at Fox News, pundits said that Trump had struggled, never took control, and failed to exploit the issues around Clinton's emails. Now, do you think this was just a lack of experience on Trump's part at going head-to-head in these kinds of debates?
I think that's a fair assessment. I mean, Donald Trump has no previous experience in elected office, so it's quite reasonable to believe that his lack of experience engaging in public political debate or really engaging any sort of political speech inhibited his ability to successfully take on Hillary Clinton, who appeared to be very well prepared for this encounter with Donald Trump.
So there was all this talk, Ankit, about Trump not wanting to participate in this debate. Can he, in fact, sit out the next two debates?
So, you know what? I think that's a very interesting question. I mean, knowing Donald Trump and knowing his propensity for ego and his propensity to show his opponents and the people that wish him ill that they're wrong, I really don't think that Donald Trump will, in fact, sit out the debate. I think that especially after this debate and especially after the media consensus here in the United States that he, in fact, did not perform that well, I think Trump will be eager to come back for the second showing against Hillary Clinton and show her that he can, in fact, put up a stronger show.
Well, you know, this is, of course, the first round of the debates, the first time we're seeing Clinton and Trump go head-to-head. But say you're an undecided voter in the States. Will this be the deciding factor? Is this the big moment?
It's difficult to say. Undecided voters this year are in a little bit of a difficult position since simply we're seeing two candidates between the two parties that are highly polarized. I mean, I personally can't recall any recent election, at least, where the two candidates have been so far apart, both in terms of their positions on the issues and in terms of their temperaments. I don't think that the debates will actually play a huge role in deciding the results of the election. For undecided voters, however, it may be the case that, you know, if Donald Trump does put up a strong showing in the next election, that they may, in fact, reconsider their position.
So are you watching the polls, Ankit? I mean, what are the numbers saying? Has this moved the needle at all in the popularity polls?
Yes. So I saw a poll by Public Policy Polling, which is an organization that polls Americans after a variety of political events, and actually showed that the needle turned 11 points in favor of Hillary Clinton in the aftermath of the debate, which I think is a fairly significant verdict in the decision that, you know, she essentially triumphed in this encounter with Donald Trump.
Well, let's move on to the fact-checking that happened at the debate. And both of the candidates made huge factual errors, and the post-debate fact-checking showed this. But how does that go down with the public? Does it make a difference to the viewer that candidates made huge factual errors?
You know what? Unfortunately, I wish I could say that the answer to that question was yes, but I really don't think that seems to be the answer, especially for Donald Trump's voters. Trump consistently throughout his public speeches and public rallies has made a wide range of factual errors, but it really doesn't seem to have hurt him at the polls. With Hillary Clinton, I do concur with the idea that she did make some slip-ups, especially when it came to the issues of race in the United States for criminal justice. And I, you know, overall, though, I don't think that it will actually help move the needle in either for either of the candidates. I think facts in this election have really been left on the sidelines, unfortunately.
Well, you know, what's really interesting about this debate is that it only features candidates from the two major parties. But of course, the race to the White House is not just a two-horse race. So, Ankit, help us understand the American media. Why weren't the other candidates featured?
It's a variety of reasons. I mean, mostly it's so the presidential debates are actually held by held under the understanding of the nonprofit organization, which is the Committee on Presidential Debates. And traditionally, they've only featured the candidates from the two major parties, the Republicans and the Democrats. But you are correct in saying that we have Jerry Johnson running on behalf of Libertarians, Jill Stein on behalf of the Green Party, and actually Evan McMullen, who's also running on behalf of a more traditional wing of the Republican Party with a particular strength on foreign policy. But the reason we didn't see these candidates is primarily because they're simply not polling that strongly nationwide. I mean, the strongest among the three third-party candidates that I just mentioned is Jerry Johnson, and depending on the polls you look at, he's been figuring between 5% and 9%, so really not a significant showing on the stage. Obviously, there's a debate to be had about whether these debates should include third-party candidates, and obviously that's a separate question.
But what do you think? What do you think, Ankit? Do you think it should include a third party?
Well, you know, it's an interesting question. For me, you know, I see a few benefits to the two-party system of the United States, actually, in the sense that, you know, you have the United States, which is a global hegemon, this incredibly influential country. So particularly when it comes to foreign affairs, I mean, the two-party system does have some benefits, not necessarily for voters in the United States, but at least in terms of ensuring that the United States doesn't make wild swings in terms of the policies that it pursues at home. Obviously, the big counterargument to that is Donald Trump's candidacy, which is highly unusual and highly untraditional when it comes to the Republican Party itself. So it's a difficult question. I mean, the third-party candidacy idea does have major benefits in terms of actually introducing non-orthodox policy positions to the debate. But overall, I do think that, you know, these debates are defensible as a two-party affair.
Well, coming back to the next debate, which is scheduled for October 9th, what do you think we can expect out of this next debate?
So I think with the next debate, Donald Trump will be looking to come back in full force. And again, it's very difficult to predict how he'll choose to do so. Trump obviously demonstrated that, you know, he was willing to take Hillary Clinton's bait on a variety of issues. So if I were advising Donald Trump for the next debate, I would essentially encourage him to be a little bit more reticent to talk. I looked at the numbers, actually, between the two candidates. Clinton spoke for 38% of the debate, and Donald Trump spoke for 62% of the debate. When it comes to a debate like this, you really want to let your opponent talk more, because the more you say, the more likely you are to say something that's incorrect or say something that's simply damaging to your own position. So if I were advising Donald Trump, I'd essentially recommend that he speak less. So I think going forward, we can expect a bit of that. Hillary Clinton, I think, by contrary, will be looking to come back with her usual form. Potentially, she'll be able to bring up a few issues that didn't come up at the first debate. There's a variety of issues. One of the notable areas where Hillary Clinton can make a lot of inroads with, especially Hispanic voters in the United States, is the issue of immigration, which didn't really come up in any significant form in the first debate. So I'll be looking forward to that.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.